Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
Well, I can't believe 2007's over. PC was a great year, though, huh, buddy?
Not really.
What do you mean?
I came out with Vista. That didn't work very well. Some people are downgrading to XP. Meanwhile, you come out with your new operating system, Leopard, a new iMac, lots of new iPods. Oh, the iPhone. I almost forgot the iPhone.
Right.
It was a terrible year. But next year, looking forward to the future, 2008 is going to be the year of the PC.
That's a great attitude, PC. What do you got planned? What are you going to do?
I'm just going to copy everything you did in 2007.
Welcome to Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. There it is. I'm your host, Erfan, the sexy man Elijah. Joining me today, you know him as the founder of Cult of Mac, but local San Francisco pubs know him as the guy who drinks 10 ales and tries to start a fight with the jukebox. Leander Caney is here.
Oh, man.
Also with us on Monday mornings, you'll find him either running Cult of Mac or posting bail at the county jail for one Mr. L. Caney. Lewis Wallace is here.
You call me Moneybags down there.
I hear you're also good at baking cakes with files in them.
Toothcracker.
Also with us, his likes include hallucinating in the sweat lodge, long nude nature hikes, and penning your favorite Apple stories. Buster! Caney is here.
Hey, what's up?
It's nice to have you back, Buster.
Oh, thanks, man.
Did you do anything productive with your time last week when you realized you couldn't do the show?
Yeah, I probably napped.
Took a nap?
Yeah.
With your dog?
I don't know.
In your arms?
Yeah.
Is that how you guys sleep together? That's how I picture it.
Yeah, sometimes he cuddles me, though.
Oh, so he's in the back?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm a little spoon.
Well, he is quite a large animal. I can understand that. Well, we don't have a ton to talk about this week, but what we do have is such high quality. We're going quality over quantity this week. Let me tell you what we have. Unlike normal. We're going to talk about how Apple is slowing down iPhones and Macs. You may not have heard this part. A lot of people aren't talking about this part. And Macs with older batteries. This came about from a Reddit thread, I think, last week or the beginning of the week before, and it blew up. Everybody was talking about this. And I don't think it's as big of a deal as people have made it out to be, but I have the solution. I know how Apple needs to solve this problem so people stop freaking out about it. Plus, we're going to tell you how you can check to see what the battery health of your device is. I've been using tools on my Mac to keep track of my battery, so I always kind of know exactly what state it's in. And there's tools that you can use for your iPhone and iPad as well, so you can see exactly, you know, how much your battery has been used and if it needs to be replaced. We'll talk about today in Apple history, Steve Jobs loses Man of the Year award to a PC. It's a very dramatic story with a very sad ending. We'll tell you about that. Buster's going to do a dramatic reenactment for us. It's going to be very wonderful and moving. And as promised, we are going to be wrapping up the show with the best Apple gadget of 2017. Now, this is a great year to do this segment because think about all the stuff we got this year. We got a new iPad. We got new iMacs. We got new MacBook Pros. We got new iPhones. We got new AirPods. Well, I should just say AirPods. And actually, those came out in December, didn't they, of last year. So maybe those don't count. But we got so much great stuff this year. So I think it's actually a pretty tough pick. So we'll tell you about what we think is the most important device of the year towards the end of the show. Before we dive in to all the goodness, let me go ahead and say thank you to Upsy for supporting this episode. Did you know that many retailers mark up warranties on the items you buy, sometimes up to 500%?
Yeah, I'm thinking, why don't we do that? But
You're like, that sounds like a great business plan. In fact, most people don't realize it's where most big box retailers make a majority of their profits. Meanwhile, you have no idea what's covered by your warranty, and you know the receipt is going to wind up in a shoebox in your closet, never to be seen again. Thankfully, there's a better way. Upsy was started by a guy who learned the ins and outs of the warranty industry and was tired of consumers getting screwed at the register. Upsy saves you up to 70% on warranties versus traditional retailers, so you know exactly what's covered before you buy. Better yet, Upsy will save all of your warranties and receipts in one convenient place. And you can even use Upsy to protect the items you buy, including holiday gifts, weeks after you buy them. I was curious to see what their price was on the iPhone X warranty. And check this out. For an AppleCare Plus warranty on your iPhone X, it's $200 plus $99 for repairs that are not screen-related. Upsy has a warranty for $120 for the same level of protection, and their deductible is only $75 for phone repairs. So way more affordable than the Apple Care Plus coverage. Plus, they cover all sorts of other gadgets. Your refrigerator, your dishwasher, your washer and dryer. They cover virtually all of that stuff. Huh. Head to upsei.com, that's UPSEI.com. And if you use promo code CULTCAST at checkout, you'll get 10% off your first warranty purchase. That's upsei.com, UPSEI.com. And the promo code is CULTCAST. And with the free Upsei app, you can purchase coverage, access your account information, and start the claims process all with a push of a button. Okay. This story went gangbusters this week. It was all over the place, and it could be just because it's the holiday season and there's nothing else to talk about, but people seem to be pretty pissed about this. You guys probably heard about this story that Apple was slowing down your iPhone when the battery became old. So it all started with a Reddit post by some random dude named TechFire on Reddit. And he said this: my iPhone 6S has been very slow these past few weeks, and even after updating it multiple times, it was still slow. I couldn't figure out why. I just thought it was iOS 11, and it was being awful to me. That's when I used my brother's iPhone 6, and his was faster than mine. This is when I knew something was wrong, so I did some research, and I decided to replace my battery. I did a Geekbench score before the battery changed, and I found out I was getting 1466 single score and 2512 multi-score. After changing my battery, I did another test, and this time it was 2526 for the single score and 4456 for the multi-score. He goes on to say, from what I can tell, Apple slows down phones when the battery gets too old. Well, this exploded, and people were pissed. And everyone was asking Apple if this was something that they were doing intentionally. And surprisingly, Apple actually came out with a statement and confirmed that indeed this is what they were doing. And here's what they said. They were purposely throttling performance of aging phones, but it's not to shorten the device's life. It's actually to lengthen it. They said lithium ion batteries can become less capable of supplying peak current demands when in cold conditions. And if they have a low battery charge over time, it can cause all sorts of other weird issues, like the device will unexpectedly shut down. And actually, I've known some people that have had this exact issue. Have you guys ever experienced this, where you're using your phone and all of a sudden it just shuts off?
Yeah.
Well, this is why it blew up, didn't it? Because it confirmed everyone's worst fears about Apple, and that, you know, that there'd been this suspicion that they slowed down over the years, and that people would normally attribute it to like an iOS update, right? They'd say, "Oh yeah, I updated like the my iOS, and now my device is painfully slow." And Lewis, you've noticed this, haven't you? Like with your old iPad, right? You know, it was painfully
slow.
Dude,
your iPad was ancient, wasn't it?
Yeah, the iPad was, and also, I mean, I was using an iPhone 6 Plus right up until I got a 10. And one reason I was like, God, aside from the fact I wanted a 10, was just like, it was practically unusable.
Right.
And, so I'm sure the battery sucks. I have not done, gone through and checked the actual health of the battery, as I hear you can do. But, it sounds like I was definitely one of these people who's getting, getting clamped down upon.
Right.
This confirms my paranoia about treating your battery right so that it doesn't degrade or become or have its capacity lowered too soon. And I only charge my iPhone when it needs to be charged. Like some people will charge it every single night, even if it has 50% battery power left. And I don't do that. I always wait until there's like a sliver of red in the battery meter. I do the same thing with my MacBook Pro too, because otherwise you're constantly recharging it. And I don't know if this is just paranoia, if this is actually helping, but I thought that your battery can only be charged a certain amount of times, and if you're constantly plugging it in to top it off, aren't you increasing how many charges it has?
No, that doesn't count. Well, then you're doing it the worst way. You're degrading. You're guaranteeing that your device won't last as long, because I think a partial recharge, I'm not sure what the cutoff is. I think it's above 50%, but doesn't count as a charge cycle. If it drops below 50% and they recharge it, then that's a charge cycle. So I think the best way to look after your device is to keep it constantly plugged in as often as you can, and keep it topped up as much as you can. That's actually better for the battery than the modern lithium ion batteries, mm-hmm. than it is to let it cycle all the way down and charge it back up again. I mean, either way, it's a consumable. You're not gonna, you're only, you get, I think, what is it, 500 charge cycles out of it? out of a typical battery?
I thought it was 1,000 on the MacBook Pro.
Okay, well, I think it depends on what the device is.
On the older ones, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'd have to look it up. You know, but I seem to remember 500. I think that was for the iPads and the iPhones, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. But as far as I know, it's better to keep it plugged in and topped up as much as you can rather than let it go down and cycle it back up again.
Well, I'll have you know, Leander, my battery health is on point on my MacBook Pro. This is a 2013. I'm looking at the battery health right now. The condition is normal. The cycle count is 432, which is actually pretty low considering I've had this for, 3.5 years now? Huh. And the health is at 90%. That's a solid A
maybe
right there.
Okay, well, maybe I'm completely and utterly wrong.
Well, I also have been keeping it plugged in. So I keep my MacBook Pro plugged in pretty much
really?
All the time.
I think you said you didn't.
Yeah, then when I do use it on battery power, I let it go all the way almost to zero, and then I plug it in. I let it go to 10%, and then I plug it back in. So I do both. I do my way, and I do your way. and my battery health is looking pretty good on my MacBook Pro. So Apple did make a statement about this. Let me see exactly what they said here, because there's some other information in here you might want to know. Okay, they said last year we released a feature for, they call it a feature, I like this. Last year we released a feature for iPhone 6, iPhone 6S, the SE, to smooth out the instantaneous peaks only when needed to prevent the device from unexpectedly shutting down in certain conditions, which I've known several people who have had their phone just turn off. We've now extended this feature to iPhone 7 in iOS 11.2, and we plan to add support for this for other products in the future. And I was doing some research, and this actually happens with Macs too. So if your battery gets to be in too bad a shape, the performance on your Mac will be drastically scaled back as well. But the difference is the Mac will tell you when it's time to service or replace the battery, and the iPhone doesn't. And this is the part where Apple really screwed up, is instead of releasing this and being quiet about it and releasing it as a quote-unquote feature, what they should have done is changed the iOS to warn you when your battery is at such a low health that you need to take it in to get it serviced. Because to change a battery, I think $79 in an iPhone. And that sucks to pay that, but if it's going to give your iPhone a new life and make your iPhone run at full performance, I think a lot of people would go for that rather than having to buy a whole new phone. And then that way Apple looks like the good guy. They're like, hey, we're going to scale back performance to make your phone work as best as it can, but you really should replace your battery, and they should have given you a heads up like they do on the Mac. And I think that's why people were pissed, because as you said, Leander, it just confirms Apple's planned obsolescence, right? That they're creating devices that are only going to last, 3 years, maybe 4 years, and then they're going to push you into the new hardware by making your hardware fail nefariously. Apple's definitely not doing that. They're not trying to make you purchase new hardware, I don't think.
I was just looking at Apple's, they have some advice battery, pages, like, knowledge, what are they called? Oh my God, whatever it's called.
Knowledge base, drop it on me.
Yeah, knowledge base articles.
Drop some knowledge on me, Leander.
Okay, it says the lithium-ion batteries, right? A charge cycle is when it's discharged to an amount that equals 100% of your battery's capacity, but not necessarily all from one charge. So if you use 75% of your battery's capacity one day, then recharge it fully overnight. If you use 25% the next day, that means you've discharged a total of 100%, and the 2 days together equals one charge cycle. So it could take several days to complete a cycle. The capacity of your battery will diminish after a certain amount of recharging. So it capacity diminishes slightly with each complete cycle charge. It says Apple's lithium-ion batteries are designed to hold at least 80% of the original capacity for a high number of charge cycles, which varies depending on the product. So that's interesting. I never knew that, right? So a charge cycle is like it's when it's being discharged, whatever is equal to 100% of your battery's capacity.
It's almost as if Apple built in some type of smart battery management into their software. And I think I remember this. I think I remember them saying this as well, is certain cells will be used depending on their states. And maybe that's what they're talking about there is. So if you use 25% down when you charge the battery, when the battery is being used again, it's going to use that other 75% that weren't used when you used it the last time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that it's kind of, so it keeps all the batteries used in a equal amount so that they all have an equal amount of charge state left. So I think this blew up to be a lot bigger deal than it is. But if you want to check your battery health, you can do that and see exactly where you're at. Leander, you said you've been using coconut battery, right?
Yeah, coconut battery. It's a great application. It is available for the Mac. So you have to download it on your Mac, but it'll also check iOS devices that are plugged in. And it's a free application. They ask for a donation if you use it, or you can upgrade to a pro version. You plug in your iOS device, and it'll check the capacity of the battery and also like its current health. Mm-hmm. It'll tell you how many charge cycles you've gone through, how many you've got left. It is, really useful for looking, to see how healthy your batteries are.
I also want to plug iStat Menus, which is a Mac utility that I have used for years, and it's one of my all time favorite Mac utilities ever made. I think it's like $15, it might be $20, and it allows you to store all these little widgets in your, what do you call this? A menu bar? Yeah, in your menu bar. And you can keep track of all these different things, including the state of your battery health. You can see how much data is being used in upload and download. And you can see exactly how much RAM is being used, how your CPU is being used, which cores are being used, your temperatures and all these different things. It's like a cockpit. It has all these instrumentation that allow you to see the statuses of virtually everything that your computer is doing, including your battery. So if you are hardcore like I am and you want to get serious about using your Mac and keeping tabs on everything that's happening, then I recommend iStat Menus too. And it's, for example, it's really handy. Sometimes we've been recording the podcast and I can see that all of a sudden my upload bandwidth is being used and it reminds me, oh, I bet you Time Machine just turned on. And then I'll go in and I'll turn it off. iStat Menus, very, very handy.
You know what we should talk about? It's like, tips for getting it, if you do have a dodgy old battery.
Yeah.
How to get it replaced, what your options are.
What are your options?
Well, I've tried all of them, I've replaced some with iFixit, where I've, bought a battery from iFixit, or I bought a couple from Amazon, which I think are a bit cheaper too. And then you can, you bust apart the device yourself. And replace the battery. And that, of course, depends on what you got. Some are a horrible hairy nightmare. Some of the iPhone models.
Nightmare. Not like a bald, smooth one. It's hairy. No, it's
extra scary.
And I've actually ended up breaking... I've broken a couple of phones, trying to do... Well, it might have been the screen. But, I've ended up... this hasn't always been successful. You've got to be... it's best to look it up iFixit. Go to iFixit and check out, how many steps are involved in replacing the battery in your own particular device before you do it. A couple of them are really easy. Like I just did the iPhone SE, that was really pretty easy. But some of them you really have to dig down. I think it was like the fours, the iPhone 4s and 4S, that era. You've almost got to dismantle the whole thing, to get to the battery.
Well, no one listening to this show is on an iPhone 4.
No, that's true. That's true. I wouldn't know what it's like with the newer ones either.
I would be much more hesitant to do an iPhone than I would a Mac. I've taken apart MacBook Pros before, and I don't know how this one is. Older ones, you had to take off the keyboard and all this jazz, but there's not as many glued together parts in a MacBook Pro as there are on an iPhone. An iPhone, you always have to start by like pulling off the hermetically sealed screen, and that always makes me nervous. And you can really screw stuff up if you're not careful, because everything's packed in there so tightly. Isn't it kind of worth just taking it to Apple? It's $79 for a new battery. I feel like that might be worth it, just to know that your iPhone's going to be working afterwards.
Right, definitely. Yeah. Well, I've done it with Apple. I've also done it with some of the. There's a local shop down the on the corner up here, that does a really good job, and they're cheaper. Like, is it $79 for all of the Apple iPhones?
I'm not sure what the price is for all of them.
I think the 10 is. Isn't that horrifically expensive?
For the battery, I don't think so. I think for a battery change, it's still just $79. We'd have to check. Some of those workshops though that replace your iPhone screen and, work on your Mac stuff when things are broken. A lot of those places, well, let me back up. Some of those places are incredibly dodgy. I went to one recently that had great reviews on Yelp, and I have been there 3 times now having them trying to replace the screen. And every time they replace the screen, they hand it back to me, and I look at it, and it looks like a middle school kid did it. The screen's not on there properly. It's not pressed all the way in. And then the touch sensitivity has been messed up, so when you touch the screen, it doesn't recognize that you're touching it all the time. It happens intermittently. Three times I've been there, and every time they apologize and say, oh, we'll get it right this time, and then they give it back, and the same exact problems every single time. And at a certain point, I'm thinking to myself, what do I do with these people? I've already paid them for this service.
Yeah.
And they seem like they're completely incapable of fixing the phone. I should have just taken it to Apple.
I just looked it up, and you're right. It's $79 for all, what they say, eligible iPhone models.
Oh. I wonder what that means. Maybe some of the old ones aren't. They just don't even touch them anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. It says your iPhone battery service might be covered by a warranty, an Apple Care plan, or consumer law. Now, isn't consumer law in some places like really, they're pretty good? Like in Australia, I think it's 3 years or something like that.
Oh, really? Wow. I think you should definitely try that angle. Just go into your Apple store and demand that they replace your battery under consumer law and see what they do.
Right. Yeah. It's not a bad idea because, from what we know about how Apple operates and the Genius Bar, they want to keep people happy. And so even if it's like, you're not supposed to be covered, they might just do it if you kick up enough fuss.
Oftentimes, I would agree with you. There are a few people at my local store who just always give you attitude when you go in there. And you're like, dude, you should not be working here. You should be working at the DMV. But I digress. Let's see here. Oh, before we move on, let me go ahead and say thank you to Eero for supporting this episode. Eero, the single router Wi-Fi model just doesn't work anymore for our increasingly high bandwidth world. What you need is a distributed system. You need the Eero. Whatever your Wi-Fi needs, Eero has the power to seamlessly blanket your home in fast, reliable Wi-Fi via Ethernet, wireless, or any combination thereof. Simply set it on a flat surface or plug it into a wall outlet to expand coverage to any room. Not to mention, with the addition of a third 5 gigahertz radio, the second generation Eero is now tri-band and twice as fast as its predecessor, which lets you do more in every room of your home simultaneously. And with the addition of a new Thread radio, Eero can now connect to low power devices such as locks, doorbells, and other sensors. Meanwhile, Eero Beacon is half the size but even more powerful than the original Eero. Whichever model you choose, with Eero's incredible customer service support, you can call and get a hold of a Wi-Fi expert in 30 seconds. We've talked about Eero's before. They are one of the best distributed systems out there, and now that they have tri-band support, they're one of the fastest as well, and they're easy to use. You can control everything via the app, and your home is going to have much better Wi-Fi coverage. I think you'll be surprised, honestly, how much better it is, and not just how much more Wi-Fi coverage you have, but when you have stronger Wi-Fi coverage in your house, you get faster Wi-Fi from everywhere in your house, from your backyard, from on the side of your house, from in your garage, from that bathroom that used to not get any Wi-Fi, which is where you need it the most. Am I right, guys? You need something to read while you're in there.
All right.
So give yourself the present of Wi-Fi in your bathroom. For free overnight shipping to the U.S. and Canada, visit Eero.com. That's Eero.com. Select overnight as the shipping option and enter CultCast at checkout, and you will get free overnight shipping to the U.S. or Canada. That's Eero.com, and the offer code is CultCast at checkout. Okay, Leander. Oh, wait, no, it's me. Wait, Erfan, tell us about today in Apple history when Steve Jobs loses Man of the Year award to the PC. Okay, Erfan, I'll do that for you. So this was, I thought, a hilarious story. Buster wasn't so much amused by it, but I'm going to tell it. I think he's going to have a second take on this. So here we go. Time Magazine, Buster, Man of the Year. The issue hit newsstands December 26, 1983, and Steve Jobs was fully expecting to be on the cover. He was 27 years old. Can I just say, can you imagine being 27 years old and already having all the success that Steve Jobs already had? It's actually kind of depressing. The award represented just how far personal computers had come in just a few years, not just technologically, but also as a world-changing industry. Apple, only 5 years old at that time, had not yet released the Macintosh. However, the Apple II was phenomenally successful. My family actually had one. I used to play Ninja Gaiden on that thing. Boom! Such a good time. Apple was also on the verge of launching the Lisa, its first machine to offer a graphical user interface and mouse. Steve Jobs had heard, and he was telling this to his biographer when they did the Steve Jobs book, What's the biographer's name, Leander?
Walter Isaacson.
Walter Isaacson, thank you. He was expecting to be on the cover. Time Magazine had sent him his special issue of Time Magazine, and he was probably gathered with his family. He's about to open it, and he was going to pull it out and see himself on the cover. But when he received the issue, he pulled it out. It wasn't himself on the cover, but a PC.
That's going to be
it was the
worse,
first
right?
time yeah. that the magazine had actually featured a non-human on the cover to add insult to injury. Steve Jobs pulled it out, and he read the article, and he was so upset, and he said this. He was so upset, he actually cried while reading the magazine. Dramatic reaction. Thank you for that dramatic reaction. Yeah, and actually, he had a theory as to why this happened. He said that when the person from Time Magazine came to interview him, the guy was his own age. He was 27. And he could tell that the guy was jealous of his success and was real salty when he was asking him the questions. And Steve Jobs thought that the piece that he probably wrote about him was negative because the guy clearly didn't like Steve Jobs. And when Time Magazine received it, they were like, we can't run this. We gotta go with another angle. And so they ended up going with a picture of the PC.
Well,
instead.
Right, but this is a famous story, isn't it, right? This is like a guy that ended up writing a book about him.
Did the guy?
Yeah, and it's called Little Kingdom. And I've got it here on my shelf somewhere. The guy's name's Michael...
Moritz.
Oh, heck. Moritz, right? Isn't that right?
Yes.
That sounds very familiar. I think that might be him.
Yeah, and because he said it was... And the book was really unflattering. It was based upon a... Like, you did a profile for Time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Little Kingdom. You know, you can see kind of where it's going. He betrayed, you know, the Jobs as an out-of-control, you know, egomaniac. That's probably why. Yeah, they couldn't give it to him because it was so unflattering.
I have no doubt this guy was jealous. Can you imagine? I mean, 27 years old. You meet Steve Jobs. He's building Apple. He's a freaking multimillionaire. He's incredibly successful, very articulate. I watch a lot of Steve Jobs videos from that era, and he was like an alien. He was so articulate and so focused on building Apple as a company and then next. You just don't meet 27-year-olds with that level of ambition. At least I didn't have that level of ambition when I was 27. I was like still hitting up the clubs and sleeping in too late on the weekends and stuff. And this guy's out there building a company. So I kind of believe that this guy, there might have been some jealousy involved in this story. Anyway, he got his revenge on Steve Jobs. Who can say that they made Steve Jobs cry? Not very many people.
Well, I'm reading the Wikipedia article. There's a whole bunch of interesting stuff about their relationship.
Oh, really? Was it this ongoing battle between them, like him and Bill Gates?
Yeah, well, Moritz was, you know, he's actually, he had a very successful career himself, but early on, Jobs considered him like the official historian of Apple, early Apple. Hmm. He told Andy Hertzfeld that Mike's going to be our historian. But then he got involved with, you know, when Jobs was denying paternity of his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
With Chris Ann Brennan, you know, his daughter Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
It was like in interviews with Moritz that he denied paternity. It all kind of blew up. This is kind of like why, this is exactly why he was working on an article, and this is why they decided to call it the machine of the year. Yeah, this is why they gave it to the PC.
I mean, I can understand not giving it to Steve Jobs, but then to go and give it to the PC instead.
Yeah.
That does seem a little bit spiteful.
Yeah, it must have put some salt in Jobs' wounds.
It'd be like giving it to IBM.
Yeah, and then he cut him off and trying to find anyone who talked to him.
That's nice.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up with the best Apple gadget of 2017. Man, so much great stuff came out this year. Am I right?
I guess. Blockbuster.
So many great gadgets.
So many cool things I didn't buy.
I know, and there's actually a lot of things that I didn't buy that I wanted to. Buster.
What's up?
Do you want to tell me what your favorite Apple gadget of 2017 was?
I don't know. That's really hard to say because I really didn't buy an Apple gadget in 2017.
What do you think was the most important one, even if you didn't purchase it, in your opinion?
Uh-huh. I would say, like, which one I would want the most. Maybe, like, the new 10.5-inch iPad Pro.
Mm-hmm.
That one, I think, made the iPad look a lot more attractive to me than it has in the past.
I think Lewis is going to agree with you there. Am I right, Lewis?
Yes. Love that thing.
I know. especially upgrading from the iPad 1. Isn't that what you had?
4.
You had the iPad 4. Well, that's pretty new. That's what my mom has.
It's not that old.
It's not that old, yeah.
But this thing is, my wife has the larger iPad Pro, the 12.9-inch one.
Oh, really?
And that thing is, I don't know, I mean, I...
Too big.
It's like, I feel like I'm, you know, a waiter in a restaurant carrying a tray of food plates.
Yeah, it's enormous.
It's just too big. And this size on this one is just perfect. The battery life is awesome. The speed is unbelievable. I use it, you know, every day. And I never really got the iPad before I had this one. And now I love it.
It's the best. I hate saying this because it sounds so obvious whenever you say it. It's the best iPad Apple's ever made. and that, I know it sounds like that happens every year. And well, with the iPad, it certainly doesn't. But it's just packed full of great technology. I think it's the penultimate iPad. And it actually made me want to buy another one, even though I have no reason to actually buy one because my iPad still works fine for what I use it for. It's essentially a Reddit machine. So I haven't purchased one, but it's very tempting because all the technology they packed in there, along with that beautiful screen, the larger screen, it just makes you salivate. At least it does for me. My mouth's watering right now. I could barely speak. There's some spittle here running down my chin. And it's just a wonderful device. And I feel like you can say that about a lot of different Apple gadgets this year, including the iPhone X. Again, the best iPhone that Apple has ever made. And exponentially better as a product than iPhones that were released in the past. Leander, what's going to be your pick?
Well, it's a hard call, but I would say the iPhone X.
Now that I've gotten used to mine, I feel like using a home button is such a tedious activity that I just can't be bothered to do.
Right.
I have to press the home button on my iPad, and it just feels like flying on the Wright brothers plane.
It's a throwback. It's like it's like twiddling with a UHF dial on an old TV or something like that. It's just something it's you shouldn't have to do anymore.
Yeah, messing with the antenna to get the picture.
It's like
tune
like a rotary dial on a telephone, right? You know, like using the old rotary dial to dial a number.
Exactly.
Didn't take long.
Yeah, just swiping up and your phone just unlocks. And I particularly like when you have an app open and you touch on the home bar and you just swipe it over to the right and it just switches back and forth between your apps. Man, that especially, because on devices with a home button, you have to double tap the home button and then you have to scroll through your different apps. And it's just once you get used to the motions on the iPhone X, it's so much faster to do those things than to use a home button. Can I cheat a little bit? I'm going to pick the AirPods.
That came out last year, though.
It did. It did come out last year.
You probably picked that last year, too.
I probably did pick it last year. And you know what? I'm probably going to pick it again next year. I think it's one of the most important products that Apple has released in the last 10 years. It's one of the most used products that Apple has ever released as far as my life is concerned. I use my AirPods every single day. I listen to music on them. I listen to podcasts on them. I love how free they are when you have them in your ear. You can just whip your head around and there's no wires anywhere. They pair easily with all of your iOS devices. I also love that you can just use one in your ear, which I do all the time. So I'll have like one in my ear and someone will be talking to me and I'm like, but little do they know I'm listening to a podcast. So it allows you to be really discreet when you're out and about. For example, I wear them when I'm running errands all over town. And sometimes, you know, someone will be saying something to you. You can just take one out and continue listening, you know, with your podcast in one ear, but still hear what's going on around you. They're so versatile. And the case, you constantly have a place to store them. And I just love them. And yes, they came out last year, but I've used them for a full year now. And they are one of my favorite Apple devices that Apple has ever released. As a second pick, since those didn't actually get released this year, I will also go with the iPhone X. Oh. Many of you know there are some things about the iPhone X that I don't love. And I continue to not love. And the form factor is among one of those things. I think the phone is a little bit too tall and narrow. And as I've said many a time on this show, I am very much looking forward to having the iPhone 10 Plus because I think that is going to be the phone for me. It's going to be a little bit bigger. It's going to have a 16:9 screen ratio, I think. Hopefully, because the one that we have now, the iPhone 10, I think is 19:5.3 or something weird like that. And I just want a bigger phone. I miss my iPhone 7 Plus. In fact, I'm getting ready to sell it. So I was manhandling it just the other day. And I was like, damn, this thing is beautiful. It's just big. It feels great in my hand. And I just loved everything about that phone. So I'm looking forward to having a bigger one. And to have that phone with no touch bar or with no home screen and be able to do all the different touch movements and stuff like that, I think it's just going to be, it might be the perfect phone. I may not ever buy another phone again. That might be my last phone that I ever buy. That might be until the battery slows it down, so it's only running at 40%. Right.
Until Apple slows the battery on you.
As Tim Cook laughs maniacally in his office. Yeah, any honorable mentions by anyone else before we wrap it up here?
Yes.
What do you got there, Lewis?
Apple Watch Series 3.
Right. I was gonna say.
My God. I was, once again, serial late adopter, sticking with these old products that work for a long time. I mean, they don't crap out, right? They continue working. So I keep, I'm a cheapskate. I don't like to replace them. So I was using a, original Apple Watch, which I got the first day it launched, wore probably every single day since then. It was getting very slow. And I finally...
Getting slow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, maybe the battery's going bad and they're throttling it too. But the same thing was happening. Like, it just kept getting slower and slower and less responsive. And it was getting to the point really where it was a little more than an actual watch. But I got a Series 3 just recently, and it's like, wow, everything works. You touch it, it works. Everything works great. And, I'm not the target audience for this thing probably. I'm not out running 14 miles a day in the rain or swimming out in the ocean. But using it for, with HomeKit and things like that, using Siri is actually responsive on my wrist now. I mean, for the longest time, I would bellyache about not having a Siri device, right? Like, Alexa's got it beat, right? Because it's there. It's always there. Well, I've got Siri on my wrist everywhere, and I just say it, and it works. It happens.
And you find that you're using it, huh?
Yes, all the time.
Wow.
It's a total revelation to me. I've been a Siri hater for a long time, but I'm actually starting to go, maybe they don't even really need the HomePod. I mean, your iPhone is always listening. You got your watch on. You've got ubiquitous Siri. I don't know. I guess I'm just saying this for anybody out there who's got an old one and they think, well, maybe it's good enough. The new one's a lot better. And it gets it closer to being what that device actually needs to be.
It's the experience that should have always been.
Yeah.
I was talking to an Apple Watch virgin on Christmas Day. Who just got her first Apple Watch as a friend of ours.
Uh-huh.
And she, her boyfriend bought her a Series 3, and she was so delighted with it. Oh, my God. She had bent my ear for about 2 hours.
At this wow. Party
about that. And then she was running downstairs.
You were trying to get away, and she just wouldn't let you, huh?
She, and then she was making phone calls to me, on the phone. On the watch. And so I was trying to make a phone call on my watch. I couldn't hear anything because we were at a party, and it was just, I should have actually shown her that. Do you remember the heartbeat thing and then drawing and sending messages?
It's
the scribble. I forgot all about that. I should have showed that to her. She would have been delighted. But she was so over the moon with it.
I think I used the scribble a total of 3 times. I sent a couple to Buster and then maybe one to Adam Christensen. A
couple penis
and he,
pics.
He got weirded out by that, and that was the end of that.
Yeah. Well, that's so slow in comparison to just speaking something out. I mean, I don't know.
But it's not your real actual heartbeat there, Lewis.
Who
have you sent your heartbeat to, Lewis? I haven't received it yet.
You just wait.
Well, I haven't actually been wearing my Apple Watch. I have mine. I have my Apple Watch. It's basically become my night clock. It just sits next to my bed, and I have this really cool matte classic table side case for it, so it just kind of sits in there, and it just stays in nightstand mode, and that's it. Well, I was actually thinking about selling my Apple Watch. Either you guys want to buy it?
How old is it?
It's the version 0.
Yeah, see, it's you can't judge the Apple Watch's utility based on that. That's the way I bring this up because, before, people were like, whoa, you got an Apple Watch, you know, do you like it? It's like, yeah, I like it, but, you know, it's not like you have to have it. And it's still not like you have to have it. But with the Series 3 and the speed, it actually makes it way more functional.
Hey, Leander, and if people do have an Apple Watch, you know, one of the biggest problems with the Apple Watch is you need to accessorize the straps.
That's right.
You have any thoughts on places
where,
that
where
we
could
do
you
that?
Do that?
Yeah. Yeah, I came across this store the other day that had this amazing selection of straps and bands and chargers.
For the Apple Watch?
Yeah.
You
don't
say.
It was like a really good one-stop shop. And I was amazed at the selection and how they had all these, like, you know, kind of hard-to-find bands that were really, really good quality. There was no crap there. It was all just really good stuff. What was it again? Oh, that's right. It was the Cultomag watch store.
Oh, my gosh. What a coincidence.
Yeah, store.cultomag.whatever-something.com.
Store.cultomag.com. If you need a cow strap or a strap that's made out of real bits of cow and has the spots all over it and everything, store.cultomag.com. Do you need one made out of a kangaroo's ball sack? Store.cultomag.com.
Whoa.
I was going to say aluminum. But
that must be a secret menu.
Yeah, that's the secret strap one. Yeah.
Whoa.
Some really beautiful aluminum straps as well. One that I've been eyeing is that stretchy one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Nice. Can't go wrong with that. Yeah, the Speedel.
Yeah,
Flexomatic. Yeah, that's a great one.
Flexomatic. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
What a great name.
Well, it was invented in the 50s. You know, this has been going around since the late 50s.
Oh, so it's like one of the original. Because I remember those straps growing up. It's one of those original straps.
And they just put some Apple, you know, watch connectors on it. But it's a classic. It's been around, you know, for a good 50 years.
That's really cool, actually.
It is, totally, yeah.
That's really cool. All right, well, store.cultomac.com. Little plug there before we wrap it up.
You know, one more thing we should mention that was really good is the the Apple TV 4K.
Oh,
I think that deserves an honorable mention. That's actually a really, really nice device. We had some friends over last night. We were sitting around in the living room. I was watching some movie on the TV, so I turned it off, and then the screensavers came on, and we sat there for about 3 hours watching the screensavers.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, they're so beautiful. There was one of Dubai that I haven't seen before, and we're like, where the heck is that? Because it was pointing straight down.
Yes.
And it wasn't immediately obvious where it was, and we were trying to figure out where it was. You know, then we started looking it up, and then I started putting in some other screensavers, and it's, you know, they're so beautiful. They're really mesmeric. You just sit there and watch them.
One of my favorite parts about the Apple TV actually is those. You know what's funny is I actually bought a 4K Apple TV, but I don't have a 4K TV. I still don't have one. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to get my Apple TV. I'm going to get my 4K TV because it's Black Friday and this is going to be the combo I've been waiting for. And then I just couldn't find a TV that I loved that was within my price range. So I ended up, now I just have my 4K Apple TV plugged into my 1080p TV.
Yeah. Well, it kind of makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's not quite as magical. But the cool thing is you can use it as a HomeKit hub.
You know what I did as well? Oh, yeah, go on, sorry.
No, that's all I had.
Well, we were watching, my son wanted to watch Bridge on the River Kwai, you know, my favorite movie of all time, and the classic Christmas movie. So we put it on the DVD, and oh my God, it looked awful. Even though it's like an HD DVD.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what the heck? And I went ahead and bought it in 4K from, from iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it has all the extras as well. So it has all the stuff it has on the DVD. But my God, it was amazing the difference it made. Suddenly it was like, bang, you know, you're in this. Because this isn't, you know, David Lean movie and made in the late 50s in CinemaScope. Mm-hmm. Some of that, some crazy, you know, super high definition, bendy screen type format. From the old days, so I knew it was you know, should look spectacular, and it really did in 4K, really, 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 really beautiful.
It's a dramatic improvement, isn't it?
Oh, over 1080p? Yeah, it was immediately obvious.
Yeah, did you feel like you were actually on the bridge on the River Kwai
in a jungle? Yeah, right, totally.
That's the only reference I can make because I have no idea what that movie is. I gotta watch it because I think you've pitched it 2 years in a row.
And then we watched. Then you want to see 2001: Space Odyssey? So I bought that too, like an idiot.
Man.
That's a great movie, but it's so slow.
Oh, it's so slow. I tried to watch that twice, and I just could not get myself to finish it because it started off so slow.
So great.
It's really, very painfully slow. But there were so many iconic moments in it, you know, like, and it had so hugely influential. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see a bunch of Star Wars references in it. You know, like the, you know, you can see where Lucas got a lot of his ideas for, you know, the Death Star. You know, the rotating space station 2001. It's half finished. I don't know. It just totally reminded me of the Death Star, and then also the open bay when the Pan Am plane flies into it looks just like the docking bay in a bunch of Star Wars movies. But you know, and Hal, of course, and then Hal goes crazy, and then the ending is like the kids were like, "What W?"
Whoa! Don't spoil it. I mean, don't spoil it. How old is that movie? 40 years old. Don't spoil
that's even
it for me.
That. It's 50, like late 60s.
Coming up on 50.
Is
right?
it? Wow. I gotta check that out. I have that on in HD, but I haven't been able to get myself to sit through it. But it's on my list. Ah. It's a very long list, though. it's towards the bottom. I've been getting caught up on Game of Thrones. I finally got to finish through season 4. I think we're on season 8 now. Is the one that they're actually broadcasting. But I'm making progress here. I'm making progress. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us what your favorite Apple gadget is, I would love to hear from you guys. Do we miss something? Come let us know. I'm at Arifon on Twitter. Leander is L. Caney. Buster's BST3R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the cult cast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all year long. New episodes of the Cultcast coming out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Are you ready for this, Lewis? Next year.
All right.
See you guys next year. Get it?
Good one. Mixing.
Very crafty.
I'll see myself out. Did you guys have a good Christmas?
Oh, magical Christmas.
Was it?
Sure.
Do kids just come up to you and try to sit on your lap and tell you what they want?
No, because I don't have a beard. So.
Come on, man. That's what I wanted for Christmas.
Oh. What?
You to have a beard.
Oh, no. I don't know. It's probably not.
Or maybe
happen.
You could just grow one for 4 to 6 weeks, shave it off, and send it to me in a Ziploc bag.
Okay.
Then I'll tape it to my face and see what life is like as a real man.